Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an AK.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay.
And ladylike.
Work.
Yeah, I'm working.
You are.
I'm working hard for that money.
You will work, bitch.
This week on Minority Corner.
What you got for me, lady love? That's your name, by the way.
Oh, it is? How lovely. I am going to talk to you, James.
Just to me? Yes. Everybody cover your ears.
Well, everybody
just
can
for
listen.
Me.
Everybody can eavesdrop in.
Okay.
On our conversation about black women poets.
Ooh. Like, I guess that's black women poets. The whoops?
Yeah.
The whoops?
Whoop.
It's like bats, but they're poets.
But a whoop.
And if you don't know what a bap is, Google the movie starring Holly Berry and some other random black woman.
Whatever happened to that lady?
She is not doing well for herself. Because we can't even name her. But good luck, girl. Maybe she's listening. Come on the podcast. You're not doing anything.
And tell us what you're up to.
Yeah.
What are you up to this week?
That's what we want to know. Oh, we want to know what I'm doing this week or that woman that we don't know?
Both.
Okay. Well, I don't know what she's doing. And the black African-American princess, the BAP.
Yeah.
You're a BAP, by the way. I want to bring that name back. I'm talking, there's a new sexual orientation scale out. Move over, Kinsey scale. You're old. You're out of the way. It's the new purple-red scale. Where do you fall in on the purple-red scale, Aneke?
But, James.
We'll find out.
Don't you need red to make purple?
Listen, I didn't design this, Aneke. Okay. She's already finding holes. She's already finding holes in my scale. Anyways, you'll find all this out and more. And wait, don't even listen to my corner. It's already a disaster.
No, the corner's going to be amazing. Don't listen to me.
Okay,
I'm just talking about color. I'm thin slicing it.
I've been inspired by your sexy talk that I was like, well, before we even have sex, we need to find out where we are on this sexy-ass scale.
Ooh, I'm into it. I am into the sexy-ass scale.
All right.
You're going to find out more.
Let's get over there.
Let's go. I'm going. I'm walking over to the corners. Walking over to the corners.
Look sexy as she's doing it.
Feeling it. Feeling it. Corner Minority.
Just the one.
Yeah.
Hey, Boo.
Hey. How are you?
Well, I, still have a penis.
Oh, good. I'm glad you didn't lose it in the...
it's still here. I'm waving around. Oh, you know what happened? The sun got me. Fucking sun.
That's what
got me.
Like the sun of somebody or the sun in the sky?
Somebody's sun got me. Yeah, that's right. They got... No. The sun in the sky.
Okay, so how does
the sun
get
you? Fuck someone else's sun for trying to fuck me up, too. You know who you are. I see you.
Ooh, we're watching out for you.
And happy anniversary!
Oh my god, it's been a year, James.
It's been a year. Aneke, I didn't get you anything because I just remembered now.
Oopsie. I didn't either because you just reminded me right now. Yay!
I don't know who's worse. We're both... This is bad. Well, you know the love is there. Happy anniversary, Corner Kids. The 1 year anniversary is here. Thanks for sticking around.
And I want to welcome all the new people.
And all the new people. You came in at the right time. Thank you so much. So great to be here. Aneke, how do I know you? Who are you?
Oh my god. We go back, Aneke and James, hella years to UC Santa Cruz. We were bosom buddy black people in a sea of non-black people.
Constantly cast as either husband and wife, brother and sister, or dating and dating.
We've done the whole gamut.
Yep.
We Game of Thrones it by being brother sister lovers.
We did. And we had our parents on pins and needles of the will they or won't they, but there's many flaws in that. I'm gay, and Aneke's just not attracted to me, not in that way.
Sorry, but I think you're handsome.
Thank you, and I think you're a sexy-ass lady.
Aw, thank you. In fact, I've been meaning to tell you, One, I just got recently married.
You've been meaning to tell me that? Because I was there.
No, well, you were there.
I was there.
I've been meaning to tell you that at the wedding,
yes,
a couple of my friends told me that they were embarrassed that they kept calling you an Adonis to your face. And I was like, James probably soaked that up. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was one moment when I came into the jacuzzi and someone's like, "Who? Wow. Wow, James. Wow." There was a big hot tub jacuzzi party at Aneke's wedding.
It was a people soup. There was like at least 30 people in there. I think we were going for a Guinness Book Records.
Yeah.
It was nasty and it smelled like butthole
yes.
the next day.
And I was not offended by the Adonis compliments. It went straight to my head and then I cried in the bathroom because it was like, it's too much power to handle. I'm not worthy. Oh,
I knew it. And that's what I told my friends. I was like, one, I don't think anybody would be opposed to being called an Adonis. And two, especially not James, who is muscle bound man.
But you had asked me earlier how I was doing, and I was telling you, let's role
yes.
play again. Let's pretend this is fresh.
Okay. Hey, James.
Hey, girl.
I'm so fresh.
Ooh.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, just, you know, hanging out here in New York City.
What's new in your hood? I'm all the way across the country.
I got hurt by a sun. The sun.
Like burnt?
Yes, that sun got me. It got me the fuck good. So apparently summers, New York is the most confusing weather system I've ever experienced in my life. Like one day it's
Tell
like,
me about it.
Oh, there's some wind going on. And then they're like, oh, but sunshiny. Then they're like, it's thunder, lightning, rain. And then they're like, no, just kidding. It's just the sun. No, it's the wind. It's just, it's insane. And so
it's too much.
It's too much. It's too big. It won't fit. It's just, the weather's got a big ego here.
It does. It's got a big ego.
So I'm out there studying my lines for my new show. I live right near the Hudson River, so I went out and I sat out there. And I decided to take my shirt off, get some sun as my boyfriend's
Ooh,
coming
on
to
your
town.
Nips.
Get some sun on my nips.
A little enough. Light on the nips.
Well, because we're going to Fire Island when my boyfriend comes from Amsterdam. And I want to make sure I'm looking good out there. I don't want to look like, you know, pasty yellow cab or something.
Yeah. You want to be a brown baby, not a pasty gray baby.
Exactly. And now I'm a red lobster baby, and it's bad. Folks who don't understand, people, like, if you don't know, black folks, we get burnt, too. It's not just...
Yeah, we do.
We, the sun eats us up just as much.
I'm the sun.
So I'm just, and I didn't realize summer was here. I thought it was just kidding. I was like, oh, the sun's not for real. This isn't real summer. I'm not a weather...
Like, you thought it was a prop?
I'm not, yeah. I was like, oh, just kidding. You're not the real summer sun. I'm not a weatherologist, so I don't really know how these things work. But then the next day, I woke up, and it's painful. So now...
James.
Yes?
I love weatherology, by the way.
Oh, you know. I'm studying. I'm trying. Storm is my professor.
You don't look red. I'm looking at you through Skype-y... magic computer right now because I'm in San Francisco.
We clearly are up on our
and,
technology
well, Oakland,
language.
Let me not front.
Yes, on the computery, Skype-y technology magic interface. I've got some good lighting. You can't see, but I'm definitely like... But it hurts.
It looks
it
good.
See,
oh.
Look at that.
Don't scratch it.
But I want to itch it.
Oh.
You see it. Now you see it.
I could see it.
It hurts.
Well, you know what you need to do? This is a tip. This is a Minority Corner tip for all y'alls, and especially you.
This is our summertime sadness special. Well, not sadness, but it's our summertime episode. So take notes.
Take some tea bags.
And swing them around.
Them, and then put them on your
nipples.
Your burn.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Well, you
okay.
could do that, too. Mm. But put it on your burn, and it will take the heat out of it.
Aneke, you are so smart. Library science, if you didn't know, Aneke's a librarian, and that's where all of her smarts be coming from.
I was going to say that. Librarians
you should go on Jeopardy, because you would do so well. No, here's why. Because everybody, a little tidbit about Jeopardy, is that those people don't actually just know all that shit. They're just good at studying. They're given all the things to study, and it's how you can retain information. And librarians are like sponges. So I think you would do really well.
Hell
and you'd be
yeah.
super cute. You'd be like, what is Beyonce for 500, please?
Yes, and I will get it all done and right. And I need to step it up for librarians on Jeopardy because the last librarian that was on Jeopardy, because I watched Jeopardy on the regs, little did you know.
Good for you. Ain't no shame.
She Alex Trebek was like, what do you do for your pastime? She was like, I collect books and I knit sweaters.
And
I was like,
what? And Nekki, okay, let's do a role play. This is your audition. So if you were on Jeopardy, okay. Hey, I'm Alex Trebek. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of hot and sexy for an older guy. And I chased down a guy who tried to break into my hotel room, and I chased him down and I attacked him. So, Aneke, tell me about yourself. Who are you?
I am Aneke Fitzclark, and I am a fucking badass motherfucking librarian motherfucker.
Okay, you can't say that many fucks on TV, Aneke. Okay, but continue. Hey, I'm Alex Trebek. Fuck yeah.
That's it.
That's all. Oh, that's it? Oh, okay. Oh, you're done. I thought you... I'm the Aneke Fitzclark. I'm a badass fucking librarian. I'm gonna fucking win this. Fuck, 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 fuck. You definitely beat, you know, Knitten, the knitting lady.
So I think it's pretty good.
you definitely have her down. So, also, I saw The Jungle Book recently. So good. I know I'm late to the party, but I went. Have you seen it?
Saw what?
The Jungle Book.
No, I haven't seen that. I don't know. Talking CGI animals.
Here's the thing. It's so good, though. Like, I actually thought that, I was like, ooh, that's a real bear. Ooh, that little boy, he's on that bear's belly. It looks good.
Even if it's, like, Bill Murray coming out of that bear's face.
That's who that voice was? I couldn't figure that out. That was Bill Murray?
Yeah.
I couldn't, no. Only one that was a little off to me was Scarlett Johansson, because she was the snake, which I thought was great. I was excited, and I was like, how is she going to do it? She literally just sounded just like Scarlett Johansson. She just was like, hey, it's me.
Oh, no, stop it.
I'm just the cool girl. Hey, I'm a snake, dude. I'm going to eat you. She did, like, you know that snake is famous for going, she did that once. She had all these S's. She was just like, hey, you know, sandcastles, strawberries, shrimp. And the last one, she was like, snake. And that's the only one that she really did.
Stop it.
My theory is that, like, and these people all got paid hella money to do this. Voiceover actors will tell you that it's just easy. They, like, she probably was, like, in the bathroom eating pancakes. And
you need to do some voiceover acting because you need to make some more money that way.
We're pretty much
doing it. And you got an expressive voice.
We're pretty much doing it already. I could have done all those voices in The Jungle Book. Watch. I'll do, I'm a Bengal tiger. Wait, no, that's the... No, okay. The tiger's the villain. Okay, I'm not off to a good start.
I like that. That's good. But I like goofy Bengal tiger.
But he's supposed to be the villain. What is it, Shere Khan?
I'm Shere Khan.
I'm going for more Louis Armstrong choice for this one. And then the snake, I'm going to do like, hey, y'all, get into my belly.
Ooh. I want to do something good.
Different. It's a world. We're doing a global version.
I'm into this.
And then Baloo. I want Baloo to be sassy. Bare necessities, yo. So we got, you know, I want everybody in here.
I like that voice.
Okay.
You know what? I want you to do Bengal Tiger voice for the rest of the podcast. Whenever I'm sad, I'm going to call you and be like, can you do Bengal Tiger voice? Because that's probably the most interesting thing.
Cheer up. Let's talk about the purple red sexual orientation scale.
Is that what you wanted?
I'm dying.
Here we go.
Where are we going next on the podcast?
Stop it. I think you broke me, James. Oh. I'm broken.
Okay.
Well,
that was good.
What's up next for us?
We're going to go to Black Women Poetry Corner, right?
I can't wait for the Black Women Poetry Corner.
Let's go.
Kind of sounds like Christina Aguilera.
I know what a man, what a girl wants, Bengal Tiger me.
I'm so happy. James, we're back.
Oh, no. You asked me to do this voice for the entire episode.
And it will be here.
Oh, no.
This is what you wanted.
I do.
Aneke and I were talking offline
mm-hmm.
that we believe that there should be a Minority Corner of the Musical episode.
We're seeing everything.
So
everything.
If you guys want it, if that's what you want, then we're going to give it to you because that's what we do. We make it happen.
We aims to please.
Oh, so we're in the BAPS corner. Am I hearing that incorrectly?
Isn't it?
The BAPS?
Yeah. Whip?
I'm sorry. So not the BAPS. Can next week, can we talk about BAPS?
Okay, sure. It was a terrible movie in the 90s.
A full BAPS. If you haven't seen BAPS, we need to do a BAPS review. BAPS stands for Black African Princesses.
American.
Why was there Black American Princesses?
Yeah.
And the old white guy in the end's like, you're my BAPS.
It was ridiculous. It's like this guy takes two hood-ass ladies. One of them had a big old gold tooth in the front of her mouth, which is kind of offensive. And then changes them into some classy ladies.
He does.
And then that's that.
It's sort of like, what's that? It's sort of Eliza Doolittle. It's Dr. Doolittle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady. Not Dr. Doolittle, because they're not animals.
What's the original one? No, that's Eddie Murphy. Talk to animals.
But so it's essentially My Fair Lady, but just with two black women. And
yeah, which...
They did give him life, because
Pygmalion? Oh, like Pygmalion, yeah. I think, and that's their original story, too.
They did change his life, because they gave him more funk and some more soul, and he was able to live his life more to the fullest.
I am shaking my head.
You know, it's really sad. It's almost even worse, because it's Halle Berry play, and I love... Listen, I'm not a Halle Berry hater, but I think she has limitations. And almost seeing...
We go back and forth.
And almost seeing Halle Berry playing such a quote-unquote hood rat character, it's almost like... It's not blackface, but it's not right.
It's weird because she always does it, too. Like, in the 90s, she was always playing these hood-ass characters, which makes no sense at all. Like, she did that one with, Warren Beatty. What was that political one where she had, like, fake dreadlocks?
And she's it comes off as so inauthentic because it's just not Halle Berry. Although, when she played in Losing Isaiah, that she killed it in that. But then when she does it as a caricature, it's weird. And then when she tries to do her Storm African accent, it just gets weird. But Halle Berry, we're pulling for you. We're pulling for you. Just stay away from Hood Rats and Catwoman. Anyways, I'm sorry. I digress. I totally just hoodwinked your poets.
Oh, you Halle Berry'd me.
I Halle Berry'd you. That's a new phrase.
So, getting back on the track of life, I wanted to talk about Black American poets, women, because, as we all know, the life-changing event of Lemonade happened a couple of months ago.
Ooh, I know where this is going.
Yeah. Yeah, and strongly featured in the video.
What do you call that? This event, the life-changing event that Beyonce made?
Yeah, I don't even know. It was like a movie viewing or something crazy.
Do you think she could get like an Oscar for that? She has to win like all the Video Music Awards and all the like.
Because it's amazing. It's like art.
It is like art. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that she did in it, which is really amazing, is she features a lot of black women artists within it. Like, they have this black ballerina who I'm blanking on her name right now, so tweet us about it.
She also has that one... She had that one girl that we love. What's her name? Little Rue. She's in it.
Oh, yeah. Mandela Steinberg is all up in there, which was awesome. We talk about that
girl so much on this podcast.
Because I love her. She's the best.
Serena Williams was all up in it, too. Stomping around.
Yes, being hot and sexy and amazing. So another little-known artist, a lot of the spoken word that Beyonce did, is a poet by the name of Warsan Shire.
And the poet is beautiful.
Yeah, her poems are amazing. She's only 27. And she is a London-based, Kenyan-born Somali writer.
She's amazing already. She's got all the things. Fast. Can you say that one more time for me and as fast as you can?
London-based, Kenyan-born, Somali writer, poet.
Wow, I'm impressed. That was good. Well played.
Thank you very much. No metronome needed. Click, click. So basically, just so people can know about her a little bit, Warsan, in 2013, she was the first young poet laureate for London. In 2014, she was also chosen as Australia's poet in residence, which is pretty cool.
Whoa.
So
all the way in Australia? Mm-hmm. Like, girl is, like, traveling around. She's like, I got all the countries on lock.
So, since Beyonce is kind of bringing to the forefront...
Black women poets?
Yeah, that it's like, I want to pump up all the other black women poets that are out there. And I found...
Yeah, who are the other ones?
Yeah, I found some great this one great article on this one blog that I read called Black Girl Long Hair, which is basically just about natural hair blog, but they're starting to branch out into cultural things, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And this one writer who goes by Elle, she compiled a list of 7 young black women poets. So I just thought I'd share them with you guys.
Are any of them BAPs as well?
I mean, they're all professional, and they're not all American, so yes and no.
Okay, all right. But they're all princesses. They're all black princesses.
Sure. Oh, yeah, the P doesn't stand for professional. It stands for princess.
Is that what you thought P stood for? Black American professionals?
Well, that's what a yuppie, the P stands for professional.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I want them both to mean their things. Also, I find that it's hard to watch Lemonade without that poetry, or listen to it.
Right?
I miss the poetry.
The poems just, like, really encapsulate the moods and every... It's really beautiful. It's haunting stuff.
So when I... Yeah, when I listened to the album, I wish that she had made interludes. You know, if it was Janet Jackson would have flooded the interludes in there. But Beyonce was like, y'all, I'm not going to give it to
Janet
you.
Janet Jackson
watch the tape.
Loves an interlude like nobody's business.
She does.
And we love her for it.
We do. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So here's the first one. Her name is Yersa Daly Ward. She's a writer of Jamaican and Nigerian heritage, and she was raised in the north of England by her grandparents.
Wow.
Her first collection.
She's from your country. Jamaica, that's your people.
It is. She's one of my countrymen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Her first collection.
Country people.
Yes, sure. Okay. Her first collection of prose and poetry is called Bone, and it tackles a myriad of themes such as mental health, love, family, and self-awareness.
Ooh.
And one poem to look for her, if you want to look about for her stuff, is called What Love Isn't. And it is by Yersa Daly Ward.
Oh,
okay.
Sounds nice. So it's not What Love's Got to Do With
No.
It. It's What Love Isn't.
What Love Isn't.
Ooh, is that... Okay, all right.
Emphasis
awesome.
My own.
Oh, okay. I thought this was a new poem.
No.
I think one of these episodes you should just do, I'm going to read these poems, and you're going to interpretive dance them.
Ooh, I love that. We could make a video component to it, because otherwise nobody could see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just reading the poetry, but you're moving, and they can hear the wind.
Yeah, they just hear
moving.
The whooshes.
The whoosh. 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 Whoosh.
Am I heavy breathing?
I'm still a fan. I don't think we need a video component. They can just hear movement.
Oh, my God. So good. Okay. Next one, her name is Naira Waid, and she is a U.S.-based writer who uses poetry as a form of self-expression. Her latest collection, Najima, uses power of imagery and punctuation to separate her poems from the rest. And one of her poems is super short, so I thought I would just read one right now.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
If someone does not want me, it is not the end of the world, but... If I do not want me, the world is nothing but endings.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, wasn't that good? It's really cool.
That was so good. Thank you for reading that. Like, that just resonated. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And that was Naira Waid. NayyiraWahed. So check her out.
Look her up.
Okay, so the next one, Alexandra L. Her work is unapologetically honest and real, and her words are always full of empowerment and encouragement, not only towards black women, but life in general. She is always encouraging others to write and tell their own stories. Her most recent work, Love in My Language, includes blank pages at the end so you can use it and, like, finish her poems. She also just released a meditation journal, and her notable poem is called Sustain in the Love of Self. And that's Alexandra L.
Wow. So you can, like, wait, you said that you can finish her poems?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, in her collection.
It's like Mad Libs. It's like a Mad Libs for, like, poetry, and it's like, all right, finish it up. I'd be like, my love is like a black dove. If only you could...
Is that my turn now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. I was pitching it to you. It's like, wow, she's thinking hard about this. My love is like a black dove. If only you could...
Fly.
Oh, good. Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
I like it. Thank you.
That was a collaborative piece between us. That was a Minority Corner poem slam.
Original?
Yes.
Don't you steal it. If I see it on a birthday card, I'm going to want at least 5 cents.
Yes. We're watching you. Keep listening, but we're watching you.
We're at the Hallmark store. Like,
just looking at all the cards.
Oh, man. We have a busy day ahead.
Oh, my God. Okay, so LaDan Osman, who is Somali-American, is known for writing about her heritage. In February 2014, Osman won the annual Silverman First Book Prize for African Poets for her collection, The Kitchen Dweller's Testimony. In this collection of poems, she references family, religion, gender, and more complex and imaginary scenarios that women often encounter. Some of her diction is almost haunting, especially when she's talking about things like mutilating a doll, as in Amber Doll.
Wow.
Yeah, she's deep. Her notable poem is called Apparition 2.
Apparition 2 or Apparition 2?
Apparition 2.
Like a ghost?
Yeah.
Ooh, like it's the second time it's coming. It's like a sequel.
Yes.
Like The Conjuring.
So her name is LaDan Osman. So check her out. And I got three more. Aja Monet. Aja. Is from
Brooklyn. I like Monet. Doesn't that mean like pretty...
artist? Like it's an artist?
Far away from up close. It's a mess.
Oh, you... Clueless.
Clueless. Got it down. But we don't talk about Stacey Dash. But we do talk about Dion.
There's yes. Two we separate... art from artists.
The artist from the art.
From the
character
crazy ass.
From the yeah. vessel. From the vessel that was used to create
Lord.
The magic of
okay,
Dion.
Okay, so you can go visit her. She's in Brooklyn, New York. Why don't you go hang out?
Oh my God, give me her address right now. Is it on there?
Yes. No.
Oh, it is? Oh,
we're
okay.
We're not stalker corner right now.
Oh, shit. Well, that might come up next corner. I don't know. I need friends. I need to hang out with her.
I know. Well, you can hang out with Aja. She usually tends to focus on a city urban aesthetic, and her first collection is called The Black Unicorn Sings, which is kind of, she uses both gritty and melodic tones, and her notable poem is called, Is That All You Got?
I'm in. I'm in. That poem is just starting off with a bang. Is that all you got? I want to make a movie called Is That All You Got? And it's only like 5 minutes long. And it's
I
just, like me, like, doing all this stuff, and there's, like, a music in the background, it's a montage of all this thing, and then
yeah.
I open the door, and then someone just sitting there, you can only, and I just say, is that all you got? Credits.
Ooh, I like
it. No, I want the movie to be, like, hour and 15 minutes, and it's just me walking around the city doing all these things, and it's, like...
just being disappointed in everybody?
Yeah.
Is that all you got? Is that all you got?
Is that all you got?
Is that all you got?
And then, like, someone, like, they're like, oh, like, it's sometimes if it's just, like, they don't have, like, enough French fries at the Shake Shack. And I'm like, is that all you got?
And they're like, no, I want more.
I'm loving this. All right. We'll put it on the queue of movies we need to make.
Okay. Morgan Parker is also in Brooklyn, so you can go look her up, too,
okay.
And hang out with her.
They're probably like, roommates or next door to each other.
You're going to like this one, too. Morgan Parker is kind of more of, like, a quirky poet.
Ooh.
One title that she has written is called Real Housewife Defends Herself in Front of a Live Studio Audience.
That's the name of the poem?
Yes.
That's amazing. Because I love it. Like, I imagine that my two Brooklyn girls are roommates. And I love that
yes.
they write such different styles. Because she's
right?
writing, is that all you got? And she's like, the other one's like... you know, Real Housewife.
Pop stuff. She does a lot of critique on pop culture, and her poems tend to relate to race and self-reflection. Her latest work is called Other People's Comfort Keeps Me Up at Night, is definitely one to explore. And her second collection, There Are More Beautiful Things Than Beyonce, will be out February 2017.
I'm in love with this because, you know, I love Beyonce, but I get scared about her, too.
Yes, I know. That's why I thought that you would like her. Morgan Parker's notable poem is called Miss Black America.
Ooh. This sounds great. We should get them on the podcast.
I know. We'll go.
My brother's convinced that Beyonce is like the Antichrist.
Whoa, that's a whole nother nut to crack.
I think, like, anybody who gets really, really super big and famous, I even get, like, a little scared of, like... Like when Lady Gaga was really big. Because in the media, like, it's just anytime anyone's like, this person's amazing, we all must worship this person, it just gets scary.
Yeah, it's never good to, it's never good to worship your heroes. You always gotta give them a little bit of edge, because then they'll just fall from grace hella fast for you.
Yeah, you just gotta give them, you know, okay, I see you, I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
But my side eye is ready.
It's ready. It's posed. It's posed up. Just quick to the side.
Yeah, just really quick. Everyone deserves a little side eye.
Yeah, I appreciate some side eye. It keeps me in check. Okay, last
one. I mean,
one.
Even if I was running around with, like, Jesus or, like, Buddha, I would give them a side eye. They say something crazy, I'm like, I see you. Side eye. Side eye, Jesus Christ.
Little side eye does not hurt nobody. Okay. Alyssa Harris is a California-born, Virginia-raised poet. Her first performance of That Girl was on Russell Simmons' Brave New Voices, which I guess was one of those, like, remember he did, like, the deaf
canceled.
Poetry kind of jam?
The deaf comedy poetry jam?
Yeah, so he had another one called Brave New Voices, and Alyssa Harris performed on that. Alicia?
Wait, the show Deaf Comedy Jam? On BET?
I think it was on HBO.
Oh, okay.
It was the 90s or maybe early 2000s when slam poetry was huge.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So she has a chapbook called How Much We Must Have Looked Like Stars to Stars, and it won the 2015 New Women's Voices chapbook contest.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it's, yeah, and it's going to be available in July, and her notable poem is called This Woman.
Wow. Can you do me a favor and just recap and read all of the titles one by one of all the poems?
Okay.
This Woman. Ain't nobody got time.
I can do it. Sure.
Is that possible?
Yes. This Woman. Miss Black America. Is that all you got? Apparition 2. Sustain and the Love of Self. What love isn't? All right, there you go.
Yeah, that was a poem in and of itself. You should actually tote that around as your new poem. And
hey,
then, and then you show
it's
up.
It's like
to
found work. It's beat poetry. Yeah. I just did some beat poetry right now.
All the snaps. I want you to start toting that around, and then they'll give you like some side eye at like the different the slams. But it'll all be
and
love.
I will take it
because
at the end I'll be like,
listen,
everybody needs a little side eye.
You're like, it's part of the game. I get it. Everybody needs a little side eye. I'm not above it. I know I invented the rule, but ain't nobody above it. Awesome. I love it.
So
well,
good.
Thank you so much for that, Aneka. Very informative, as per usual, because you be killing it.
You're welcome. I'm so happy I got to share it.
You did. Thank you so much. Well, coming up next, it's going to get a little sexier.
Ooh,
and
yes.
And even bappier than before.
Just a little bit bappier.
I don't even know what that means anymore. It's lost its meaning.
We're just making things up.
Exactly. So. Well, we all are. Well, yes, some people are making up their sexuality, and we're going to put it out on blast. Well, not really.
Ooh,
but
okay.
Where are you on the purple-red sexual orientation scale? Find out next.
I don't know.
Let's sex it up. Sexuality and the spectrum. Where are you? Let's talk about sexuality. Let's talk about it now. So we've been on like a sex kick. It's like the sexiest summer of it, because we went through a dry spell and now we're making up for lost time.
We are. It is
so,
free love in the minority corners.
If you can't handle it, then you need to get ready. Or maybe it's just, maybe it's not you. Maybe it's where you fall on the spectrum.
You need to
so,
get a drink. That's,
okay. That's
what you need.
So,
that's
okay,
what I'm
okay,
saying.
Well. Okay, all right. I think Aneka's got alcohol in the brain. Sexuality is a tricky ass beast.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, I think what people are starting to come to terms with is that perhaps it's incredibly fluid. You know?
It's a spectrum.
It's a spectrum. I think Honey Boo Boo said it first.
What?
Everybody's a little gay.
Oh, about her uncle?
Everybody's a little gay. Ooh, she was not lying, y'all.
I'm
okay.
Into it. I agree.
But does that mean that everyone's a little straight?
One would think, since that's the opposite, right?
Well, actually, you know what? I think, no. I think it just doesn't work like that.
What?
I think it just, like, not really, like, everybody's a little straight. I mean, That just means that, like, people are just attracted to things. I don't think it works back in the reverse direction.
No, I think, okay, if you are, if we're thinking in the scale of things, right?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, so that some gay people are...
are a little straight, and some straight people are a little gay.
That's true. So...
because if you're gay, you can't be a little gay on top of that, too.
You just get a little gayer. I don't know, Nikki. Don't test me. Don't test me. Okay.
That was a laugh. That was okay.
That's my gay character laugh. I use it for different characters. Mm-hmm. Okay, so currently we're now using the Kinsey scale. So for those of you guys who to assess sexuality... those of you who are not caught up and did not take your sexy class like in college, like I did, that's where I learned.
Sexy 101.
Sexy 101, literally. I think it was like human sexuality, a.k.a. Sexy 101.
Yeah.
So doctors Alfred Kinsey and Wardell Primary and Clyde Martin developed the heterosexual homosexual rating scale back in 1948.
Wow.
So, but it's not... most more commonly known as the Kinsey scale. So it was like back in the late 40s, they were like, let's figure out this shit. Like, we know that people are sexing it up, and what's going on? So the scale accounted for research findings that show... what? No. It's true. They wanted to find out. I saw that face.
I like the idea.
I saw you side-eye me.
Of them being like, hey, what's going on in this room? Hey, what's going on over here? Hey.
We need to figure out some research that's going to help bring some facts to this so we know what to call these things.
Yeah.
So, they wanted to see, like, you know, people don't necessarily just fit into, like, one box of heterosexual or homosexual categories.
Yeah.
So, Alfred Kinsey, he's a sexologist, and there's actually a movie as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's called, like...
Kinsey.
I forget what it's called.
It's called Kinsey.
Oh, Kinsey?
Yeah.
I was going to call it... I thought it was called Kinsey Time.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. Okay, I'll never figure out what the name of this movie is.
I know. What could it possibly be named?
What could it be? So, but the problem with this is that it has some limitations because it doesn't necessarily account for people who are also asexual.
Oh, right.
So, yes. And so the Kinsey scale identifies people's levels of same sex or opposite sex attracting from the number 0 to 6. 0 being exclusively straight, 6 being exclusively gay.
Okay.
And so how did they go about and figure this out? They interviewed thousands of people. Remember, you know, there wasn't as many people back then in the 40s, so they interviewed just thousands of people about their sexual histories. And research showed that sexual behavior, thoughts, and feelings towards the same sex or opposite sex was not always consistent across time.
Mm.
And I want to say, I don't know this for sure, but I feel like they made people watch sex and they, like, tested, like, if they got aroused.
Yeah, I think that's they did some, happened. Like, they did some pretty risque things where they, like, had people touch penises and were like, do you like that?
Yeah, and they, like, had, like, scanners and, like, things set up, and that's how they were able to, like... that's where we started to get the... that's where we got the fact-finding that I think, like, 5 to 10% people are gay from this study.
Yeah, interesting.
So, this is the Kinsey scale. I'll let you know about it, and then forget it, because we're not doing it anymore.
Get it out of your mind.
I'm going to tell you what it is, and then just earworm it out. You don't need to know. But I'm catching you up in case, like, previously on sexuality scale.
Oh, that's good. You know what it is? We're doing a wine tasting of the Kinsey scale. You take a sip, and then you spit it out.
Spit it out. So you're going to take in this information and then just say, get out of here. Get fuck out of my head. Because you're old. And you need to step down. So, old news. We have 0 exclusively heterosexual. Mm-hmm. Ooh, you're a 0.
I am.
Well, I don't know, Aneke. I saw you in college. Well, I'm not saying you're a 0. I'm saying that, like, someone would be a 0. So then 1, predominantly heterosexual, only incidentally homosexual.
Incidentally? Like, you tripped and fell in a vagina?
Was that had a drink, like... maybe, you know, kissed a girlfriend, or had, like, an intimate encounter with... grazed a lady boob, and wasn't...
Oops.
And you weren't afraid of it. You didn't run away. Number 2... predominantly heterosexual, but more than incidentally homosexual. You can already see why we need to redo this list.
Yes, because this is vague as hell.
Number 3.
This is like, you grazed a boob and you just stayed there for a second.
Yeah.
And then you left.
And then, yeah, that's number 1. Then number 2 is that you grazed it and then you guys made a moment to, like, reconnect and revisit.
Like, you waved.
Revisit it. Go on a date.
Wink.
Number 3, equally parts heterosexual and homosexual. So so equal.
Bisexual.
So you can, you don't even say you're bi, you can just be like, I'm a three. Back in the old days, but now we're changing that. Number four, predominantly homosexual, but more than incidentally heterosexual.
You in college.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is me in college. I made out with everybody. I was all over the place. I was figuring it out. Mm-hmm. Number five.
Yeah, you're living your life.
Living the dream. Number five, predominantly homosexual, only incidentally heterosexual.
There we go.
That might be me, like, maybe not. I'm like a 5.5. Maybe. And number six, exclusively homosexual.
Gold star.
Gold star. Gold star gay. And then X, that just added this, that wasn't real back then, but people were like, what about us? X, no sociosexual contacts or reactions. So you don't even get a number. That's why this system sucks.
Damn.
So,
yeah.
Forget everything I just told you. Pretend like the last 10 minutes didn't even happen.
What did you just say? It, who are you? Where am I?
Well, Aneke, we have a new system, because we're like, fuck you, Kinsey Scale, you're old-fashioned. So this new system is, it's got multi-layers. So first you're going to figure out your letter, then you're going to figure out your number. So.
This is exciting.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Myers-Briggs test of sexuality.
It is, because sexuality has so many more components, more than just like, do I want to fuck this guy or fuck this girl or both of them at the same time? But the varying degrees into which I want to fuck or don't want to fuck. So, A represents sexuality. So it goes from A to F. So A represents asexuality, or a total lack of interest in sex besides friendship and or aesthetic attraction. While F represents hypersexuality.
Where you're like, give me that D all the time.
Give it to me now.
Give me that D all the time. D.
I just need
D,
it all.
D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, and then also I'm going to let you know about the orientations, which are zero to sex. So you have the degree into how much you want to fuck or don't want to fuck, and then your orientation in that. So you'll have a letter you'll have a number. Okay? So going through the letters, take notes, everybody. This is new. Now, pay attention to this. Don't be quizzed later. Not you.
No. Really?
Well,
okay.
Not you, but everyone pay attention. This is important.
Yes.
This is the new. So, A through F. A stands for, if you're an A, it means you're an aromantic asexuality. So, you experience no attraction besides friendship or an aesthetic attraction. So, that's like, you know, the asexual people.
You just want to read a book and be left alone.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah, hey, we're together. This is cool. You know, don't touch me, though. Yeah. But, like, I love you, but I just don't touch me.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know.
And this is valid. I'm glad that it's on the scale, because it's
you're
how
just like,
people are.
I'm just doing me. I'm just doing Miley. Or I'm just being Miley.
Yes.
That's all. I don't think she was an A.
No.
So, B, romantic asexuality, which is that you're not interested in sexual relations whatsoever, but you're open to romance, touch, or bond stronger than friendship. So this one, you're like, all right, you can touch me, and we could even get married.
Take me on a date, but don't touch my vagina, please.
Well, but you can, no, I think you could still touch it, but there would have to be a conversation, and we'd have to have a very stronger friendship. But you're not putting anything... I'm not, you know, don't put your vagina in my dick, or however that works, or don't put your dick in my dick, or, you know, maybe our dicks could rub up against each other. I don't know. There's not all this.
I'm still stuck on vagina in the dick.
Well, I don't know how these things work. It's been a long time. So then C is territory sexuality, which means that you experience no sexual attraction, but willing to do it for other reasons, such as children pleasing. They're partners. So, like, you're like, all right, I'll do this so we can have some kids. But that's the only reason why I'm having... So, like, you know, the old, like, fashioned of, like, all right, we're going to have some kids. Let's have some sex.
This makes sense. Like, it's for a purpose.
Yeah. Like, listen, I'm by the book. This is how I do it. And this is what I want. But we're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, watch Scandal and let's make a baby.
Got it.
But maybe watching Scandal makes them want to make more babies. So that's, you know.
Oh, interesting.
So then D, secondary sexuality, may develop lustful feelings over the course of a relationship, but not at first.
Oh, so no one-timers for you.
Yeah, you're like, listen, I'm going to get to know you, and then we can bump our pretty parts together and rub them up, and we can put things in places, but I got to know you first.
Yes.
And this is going to develop over
time. Sounds like a falling in love with the mind sort of
thing. Yeah, totally. And then E, primary sexuality. Sexual desire is established from the get-go, even if it's acted upon. However, other components such as companionship are essential to these individuals too. So I think a lot of people fall into the E category where they're just like, you know, we're going to have sex.
Like a sex drive.
Yeah, you're going to have a sex drive. Like, it's the, all right, I'm going to have some sex eventually.
Yeah.
Right now, maybe. I don't know. But you definitely, but for these people, companionship is, they are looking for companionship down the road. But they gotta fuck a few people to get there. And let's go to the last one. F is hypersexuality. Sex is the be-all, end-all purpose of any relationship. Everything else is just a consolation prize or means to an end. So these people, like...
Interesting.
Yeah. I think...
That went from 0 to 60, James. That went from, like, yeah, let's just have some sex whenever, you know, I'm attracted to, like, fuck me.
Yeah, true. I know. The other ones, A, B, and C is, like, a bit of a rev-up. And then D...
Yeah.
D is, like, okay, well, D is sort of, like, I'm gonna get to know you, and then we'll have sex. And then E, I think, is just where a lot of majority people fall into, like... The sex drive. Yeah. Like, I'm going to have some sex. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I also want a relationship, though, too. And then F is just like, let's fuck. Let's do it. All right, so then we get to orientation 0 through 6. So now, everybody pick, I hope you figured out what your letter is. I believe I'm an E for primary sexuality.
Yeah,
I'm an E. Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. E for easy.
For me to figure out.
E for easy.
Easy for me to figure out. Let me clarify that.
Some people, and hey, maybe you're not sure. That's okay. Orientation 0 through 6. 0, exclusively attracted to the opposite sex. 1, mostly attracted to the opposite sex. 2, prefers the opposite sex, but is also attracted to the same sex.
Okay.
And then E, equal attraction, bisexual.
You're jumping to...
Letters? Sorry, 3. 3.
Okay.
3. I saw the E and I got excited. I'm just got E on the brain. 3. Equal attraction, bisexual, or biromantic. 4. Prefers the same sex, but is also attracted to the opposite sex. 5. Mostly attracted to the same sex. And 6. Exclusively attracted to the same sex. So it's sort of, they took the Kenzie scale a little bit and just put it in better lingo and language on that sense, I would say. Yeah.
It's defined more.
Right. And so where this came from is, this is not scientifically sound. It just appeared on Reddit and everybody is like going gaga over this. And it's not perfect, but it is definitely a step in the right direction. I think we need to look at the Kinsey scale, because I think it's very limiting. So it's by Landon Parks. He has no medical background whatsoever. But when he was asked why did he create it, he said, I created the scale after learning about asexuality and realizing I myself am a heteroromantic asexual or a B0 on my scale. He wanted to find something else, you know, a little bit more in depth. And then he said, I then thought, not only are there sexual and asexual people, but there are different kinds of sexual people as well. I thought by adding a second dimension to the Kinsey scale to represent different levels of attraction. And then, so the way, the reason why the colors come in is that the A's, it's very light purple. And then as you get to F, it's like red hot. And
see, okay.
Well, he picked those colors because I think purple represents the color of asexuality or something, and then he picked the opposite color.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's why he picked those colors.
So, one, I like how you always good for adjustment of something old, but I was gonna ask if the person who developed this was asexual, because it weighs pretty damn heavy.
He spends a lot of time in F through A through C is pretty, like, just rare enough.
Yes.
Wrapping up to go. I think there could be some adjustments there.
I think there needs to be at least one more letter added between E and F.
It is a bit of a jump. Yeah, because... Red, and so, like, then red, because, you know, red-blooded is a term often used to describe hypersexuality. So,
yeah,
if we look at this, let's play a little game. So, if for those of you who are still a little confused, and so, and you know, on one sentence, it's like, okay, are we just creating more labels?
But, yeah, that's the other, yeah.
But I don't think so. I think, like, and what I like about the scale, too, is I think, like, could you imagine if you're on OkCupid and you can just put in, like, okay, I'm an, instead of putting, like, you know, gay, straight, or bisexual, you can put in, yeah. okay, I am in, you know, F2, which means, like, yeah. I am, you know, ready to fuck. I like some people, like, I, like, have some same-sex attraction, but mostly this. Like, it's...
I think that would be great.
And people can sort of match up more so... where their, you know, sexual interests are, because I think sometimes, you know, it can be a little bit limiting to just say, oh, well, he's a guy, he's going to be into it, or she's a girl, you better hold on and wait, where it might right. be different. And so I think it's also people being able to be compatible, you know, I think it's a good thing to know, like, how sexual are you of a person, and to be able to have a scale, maybe another letter would be helpful, but,
yeah. But I think it's great. I think it's a great start. And it's, like, really informative, especially for those of us in the world who are asexual, yeah. who are constantly having to explain themselves. I think it's good for that, too. Yeah,
they just be like, all right, listen, I'm a B0, which I think is interesting. And so, like, a B0 would be someone who, they're not interested in sexual relations, but they're open to romance or touch and bonds with stronger mm-hmm. friendship. And they're exclusively mm-hmm. attracted to the opposite sex. So they want to spend their time with a member of the opposite sex. They just don't want to fuck them.
Right. And it's good to be upfront about that.
So to break this down into people you know, let's talk about it. Let's break it down to the Sex and the City girls. So.
Okay, good. Because I was going to be like, I don't want to air my friend's laundry out on this podcast. Yo, we are. Doing, all right. James?
Let's talk about Chelsea. All right, what do you think Chelsea is?
No.
I don't even know a Chelsea. Chelsea Clinton?
I know a couple of Chelsea, so I was like,
I think Chelsea Clinton is, I'm going to say she's maybe, I think she's an E. She likes her sex, you know, dad.
I feel comfortable doing this with fake characters. Oh. Can we go back to okay. Sex in the City?
Fair enough. All right, so Carrie would be like an E1. So she's like, you know, primary sex. She's like, she's got a good sex yeah. drive. And it's mostly totally. With the opposite sex. But, you know, there could be a little thing here. A little boob graze or a little, you know, drunken makeout.
Intentional boob graze.
Yeah. There might be a girl that turns her head. She's like, oh, that girl, there's something, a connection there.
Yeah, okay. Doesn't necessarily, I agree with yeah. that.
And then Charlotte is probably more of a D0. So she's not doing anything with the opposite sex. And she's...
Yeah.
And... You know, the D, she may develop lustful feelings over the course of the relationship, but it's not at first, so you gotta get to know her.
She didn't have any one-night stands on the show?
I mean, she got to know her one-night stand a little bit better.
That's true.
It's not a regular... It wouldn't be a regular thing for her. So then Miranda yeah. would probably be an E0. So she's like...
Oh, right, on the show.
Regular yeah. sex drive, but she's keeping it just with, mm-hmm. you know, the dude.
Just with dudes.
And then Samantha would probably be an F2. So she is ready to fuck. And yes. she prefers the opposite sex mostly. But hey, she's going to dabble. She's going to, you know, she's going to get her little thing on.
This is actually very informative. I'm really into...
I just had to break it down into Sex and City terms for you to for all of our yeah, listeners to understand. And they're like, oh, okay, I get it.
I get it. You're speaking my language, and I still am going to write this guy a letter and say that we need to have one more letter between.
I agree, yes. Also, just to let you know, and then if we take fictional characters like Deadpool, he in the comic books, yeah. he's definitely an mm-hmm. F. He's, like, hypersexualized for sure. Although, mm-hmm. in the movie, he does have that lady love. Here's the thing. Comic book Deadpool, I would say, is an F2, F3.
Yeah, because he definitely
has some bisexual times.
Bi.
Yeah. He is, yeah.
But see, this is where I think that here's the other letter would come in handy, though. Because he is into romantic relationships, but with a high sex drive.
True. So he's like, what's between an E, like an E.5 or something?
Yes.
I definitely think mm-hmm. that I'm an E. I would say like an E5 or an E4.9. Probably an E5. It's been a long time since my college days, but E5.
Yeah.
Mostly attractive. I would say... Sex.
I am an E1 or 2.
Yeah, there it is.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Let's be.
And I think Frank Underwood from House of Cards is a D3. So
I think he's that's right.
equal attraction, bisexual, or romantic, and he may develop lustful feelings over the course of a relationship, and not at first.
I might argue with you that a lot of his sexual stuff is intentional, though. So maybe he is a C.
You think it's in? You think he's a C?
I don't know. I don't really see him, like, doing people all that time on the show.
Because, but he's willing to do it for, oh, like, he's willing to do, have this sex for other reasons, such as, for other, he has other reasons by why he's having sex. But he had sex with Meacham, which you don't remember because you never saw. And that's my only reason that I would say maybe, but maybe he had different reasons for having that sex with Meacham, so that's possible. So you're right, okay.
I don't know. It's interesting to think about. I like it.
Are there any other celebrities who want to do? I'm trying to find out where Buffy is, and Buffy became a bit of a lesbian in the comic books.
I
think she's an E3.
I have a confession for you. You're going to be upset about.
You don't know anything about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Barely. You've never watched a single episode.
I've watched like a couple episodes.
I don't think I can do this podcast with you anymore.
You could teach me this though. You'll be my tutor.
That's what you should do over the summer. You should Netflix. It's all on there. You would love it. It's great.
Okay.
Bear with season one, and then season two, it really starts to get good.
Oh, okay. See,
it's
already.
Figuring itself out.
Already you're giving me the bon mots of Buffy. It's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you all enjoyed. Is there any other celebrities we want to do?
I don't know, but you should leave them on our Facebook page.
Yeah, if there's any celebrities, just out them.
On our Facebook page, just write characters. Who you... Fictional
characters.
Oh, yeah, fictional.
That's what I mean. Fictional characters. Like, you could put, like, all right, I think Beyonce is an E5 or whatever.
Beyonce's not a fictional character.
Oh, you're right. But isn't she, though? Isn't she?
I don't know.
I don't know. Queen Bey. All right. just fictional characters, like Olivia Pope or something.
Yeah, there we go. Olivia Pope is definitely a E0.
I think it's an interesting way to turn towards the future of just, you know, make it more just a lettering, numbering system, and people can change around as they go.
It's so true. Like, for instance, when we were just talking about that, and I said that I was, like, an E1 or 2, I identify as a straight woman, and mm-hmm. I mostly do that because I don't really walk in the shoes or live in the community of a bisexual woman. So,
yeah,
it's one of those things where I can... kind of get to know who I am, my own sexuality, without feeling like I am appropriating somebody's culture too, you know?
Yeah. And so how limiting for someone, I said this before, like these, you know, boxes that we put and these gender ideas and sexuality ideas, and it's so limiting. And man, it seems like you get to open up so much more as a person and human being and more true to your own authentic self by allowing yourself more so to be able to move and explore this, you know, it's not like you're going to go run off with your husband right now to go with some lady.
Like, I love
Megan,
my husband.
With Megan Good or something.
No.
But it's still being,
God,
you know.
Megan
and I think
Good.
The last person you would have a lady encounter with.
She is
but
my nemesis.
Okay, in that case, like, sharpening knives right now.
Actually, you know what? Remember, I got over that. I like Megan Good. We're cool.
Only because she's had nothing but failures and canceled shows, so it's brought her down to earth.
Her.
You're like, yeah. Anyways, I think it's like, even myself, like, I've had my last lady encounter. I had a French kiss in France.
Ooh.
That was it. But now I get French kisses all the time.
Oh, ooh.
But, like, my last time I had, like, a real lady-on-lady encounter was, like, years ago. So it's not fair for me to just run around with this flag of bisexuality. But I think it's still, you know...
Yeah.
You know, I just think, like, and maybe it would even help with some of the oppression that minority groups get. Because if everybody's just more so on the scale and goes by these numbers, then, like... It just sort of breaks down. If anything, it's actually breaking down barriers and walls. So
exactly. I love that.
I think the spectrum is a new way to go. I think that I'm just going to start toting myself out. Like, oh, are you gay, straight, or bi? Oh, no, I'm an E5. An E6 on a gay, on a Wednesday, but an E5 on a Tuesday.
Ooh, I want an E in the street and an F in the sheets.
Ooh, no, she didn't. Yes, she did. I like it. Yeah, that's true. An E in the streets and an F in the sheets. I love it. That's great.
You like that?
Thanks.
That was good.
I do. Yeah. All right, shall we go to our quiz?
Yes. James, thank you for that. This was really informative. I'm into it.
Quite welcome. Later, you E1 or 2.
Ooh, bye. Quizlet Corner.
The Christina Aguilera edition. Featuring Louis Armstrong and Sia Khan.
I wish this was all about... who did I say? Shakira? No, Christina Aguilera. And although Christina... Shakira kind of sounds like that, too.
Ole, ole, ole.
Whenever, look at my breasts are small and humble, so you don't confuse them with mountains.
That's like Cookie Monster version of Shakira.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. There's so many voices here on the podcast today. All right, one of these, there are five things. One of them is not true. It is a fucking lie.
Okay. I'm right. Ready.
Number one, wife enacts ultimate act of revenge on husband who slept with a male gardener.
Ultimate revenge. Like she cut off his ding dong?
Well, I don't know. It could be true. It could not be true.
Okay.
Number two, closeted Hollywood actor hates his fans and complains about being only worth $4
million. Complains that he's worth $4 million? Whoever this guy is a douche.
Maybe it's not even true. Maybe I made it up.
Okay.
Number three, Bernie Sanders entered to a rally to a homophobic DMX song.
Oh, if that's true, that makes me sad because that's probably here in Oakland where he had a really good rally that was huge.
Could be true, could not be true. Number four, in areas with Zika, follow safer sex practices or abstain from sex for 8 weeks.
Ah, 8 weeks?
Could be true, could not be true. Number five, Englanders gathered for their annual chasing of a cheese roll down a dangerous muddy hill.
Oh my God.
One of these is not true. I've been getting okay. You.
This is nothing like the Tony the Tiger one, though, I have to say.
That's still my favorite one. You were on quite an adventure.
Oh my God. Look it up. Past listeners. I'm going to do my normal process of elimination. So,
got it.
The Zika virus, that is true. I have been reading up on that.
It is. So, yeah, if you come back from a country that is experiencing the Zika, they say, well, follow safer sex practices no matter what.
Yes.
But you probably want to abstain from sex for about 8 weeks.
That's how long it takes for it to process through your body?
They thought it was, they said originally 4 weeks, but they doubled that time.
Ooh, God, scary. Okay, well, practice safe sex and wear some bug repellent.
Yeah, all of it.
Yes.
It won't smell good, but...
Well, it's better that than, you know, scariness.
Like big ass or tiny baby head or whatever.
Ooh, God. People in England do hella dumb shit, like chase cheese rolls through muddy shit, so I'm going to say that's true.
They've been doing it since the 1800s. And
they should have stopped in the 1800s because we've gotten new technology.
Actually, they stopped in 2010. It's the first year back since 2010. They canceled it because people kept getting injured. It's a very dangerous muddy hill. And people, there's like four different heats. There's the ladies heat, a gentleman heat. Then there's like the co-ed. And then there's like the finals. And back in 1997, 33 people were injured. So they canceled it in 2010. It took him a while to be like, wait, we should stop doing it.
Wait.
But it's real. They just chase a wheel of cheese down a hill, and whoever can catch it. Thousands of people came out.
For
and
they some cheese chased log? The cheese.
It's like a wheel of cheese. They, like, roll it down a hill, and people are, like, geared up for this shit. And they're, like, sliding and falling and dying down this hill to go chase and grab that cheese.
All right, cool. That's potato, potato. You
That's our mother. That's where the America started from.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's who we pull our culture from. Okay.
Yeah, you don't see that on Downton.
Okay, so I'm sad about the Bernie and the homophobic lyrics for DMX. So I'm gonna put a pause on that because that one is rough for me. And then there is I'm going to say that the woman who gave the ultimate punishment to her husband is probably true, right?
It is. So this husband had sex with the male gardener.
Okay.
So I'm already thinking about where he is on the new spectrum. He's definitely, he might be like an E3, an F3, who knows?
Who knows?
So she then built a website.
What?
Dedicated to him. Yes. And the website, like you go to the website and it says, "This website is dedicated to my cheating husband, Egil Antonsen."
Here we go.
"A man who had it all but decided to throw it away for a quick romp." And then it's like, "This website is a memory of my soon-to-be ex-husband, you liar and cheat." And if you, and then she paid Google extra money.
What?
So it is the first thing that pops up. If you Google
this woman,
Egil Antonsen, and you go and it's a picture of him, and it's you know, it's his own website. And at the time,
yeah,
he was out of work, and so he's been interviewing for jobs, and he can't get a job because people, when they interview for you, they Google your name now.
It is crazy.
And now that's the first thing that pops up. And like, so when, for instance, like if you Google his name,
yeah.
I'm not saying I'm doing this, okay, but
just hypothetically,
I'm doing it. Hypothetically, if I was and my fucking internet was working, it then like says like the tagline is "the stupid cheat and scumbag." You know, like it'll say like a tagline of like the website.
This is messed up. I mean, I don't know.
Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. She got the internets involved.
I don't know if I could stoop to that level. I would be like, "That was messed up. Let me just disappear from your life and you can disappear from mine." And she's like, "Nah, I'm gonna burn it all down."
Yeah, and then so the website like still up, and he definitely can't get a job now.
Oh my god.
That is true.
Okay. And then the other one was, what was it?
"Closeted Hollywood actor hates his fans and complains about being only worth $4 million." And then the last one is "Bernie Sanders entered to a rally to a homophobic DMX song."
Okay, people tend to use DMX as their hype rally song, so I'm gonna say god damn it. I don't want the Bernie Sanders one to be true, but I do also feel like I love you because you're an actor, but famous actors tend to be a little ungrateful and complain about being how awful it is to be rich.
So you're saying that one's true?
Yes, that one's true.
So you think the Bernie Sanders entered into a rally to a homophobic DMX song is false?
Yes.
You'd be correct,
yes.
But it was all over the news that he did.
What?
It turns out that it was a hoax.
Oh.
What happened was a situationist prankster re-edited footage to make it look like he was entering to that song, and then the media took hold of it because they're just trying to take down Sanders.
Oh, my God.
So everybody reported on it. Everybody reported on it, and they were like, I can't believe he did this. And then it turns out that he did
good.
Not. And it was just someone pranked it. So
yes.
Remember, don't trust the internet. Anybody could post things on
Thank
there.
Thank you,
so,
James. Thank you.
You go to the library.
You need to look at your sources and realize where they're coming from. It could be made up.
It probably is. So, yes, a closeted Hollywood actor wrote a huge letter and he posted it on the internet. But again, this could actually just be a mom in Missouri posing as a actor.
I had to believe it. Who do you
so,
believe?
Yeah,
anymore?
I know. I just took the wind out of my lead. But
no,
I think
need
this
to
is,
know this.
This has been happening a lot lately. These anonymous actors have been posting like, you know, shit about how they're gay. But he's like, "I'm an actor, well known. A few of my movies are among the top grossing in history. I started out as a child actor and fortunately have worked ever since." Then he wrote four different points. He said, one, he hates his fans, but he also appreciates them. He gets upset because he gets called that character, and he's like, "I'm not a Transformer," and they want him to like sign this autograph, and he hates that. He's upset with it. And he's like, "I didn't call the paparazzi to follow me around. They're just there. I'm over it." I'm paraphrasing.
Oh my God.
But, and then, a second point, he hates people ask him for money, and he's like, "Bitch, please. I'm not worth $20 million, more like $4 million." And so he complains about how much money he can command for a film. And then
he basically wrote his own blind gossip.
Yes, pretty much. And then he's like, they think I can't. Then he gets upset. Number three, he's upset because he thinks that people think that he can get them work. And he's like, "I can't."
Okay,
and then number four, he's
valid.
Like, "My life is not glam." And he goes on, he's like, "I don't have friends. Many Hollywood people just want a party, and many non-Hollywood people expect that your friendship will enrich them in some way." He's like, can't tell you how many times non-Hollywood friends have hit me up for money, work, contracts. And he says, I can't even say that I'm gay because it will hurt my career.
Ah.
Some people think it's Elijah Wood.
Really? He has been, he has been consistently working since his childhood.
Frodo, hey, where's the ring, Frodo?
You know what? He has way more money than $4 million. He has to. Yeah.
But this is not the first time I've seen, like, an anonymous letter. But the other one that I saw was more sad. Like, someone just, like, I'm living a sad life, and I wish I could come out, but my agent tells me I can't, and I'm a famous actor. So whoever you are, come on to the show. We want to know.
We want to know your experience. We want to know what you've been doing.
Here's what we'll do. Whoever it is, you will write, just write me. I know you're listening. Yes. You're a longtime listener. You will write me. I will then do your voice. I will disguise it using my Shere Khan voice.
No, stop.
And I'll read your letter to everyone.
So that way it's like a voice decoder. So that way no one knows it's you.
It's just going to be me giggling in the background reading this sad letter from this guy.
He's like, it's so hard to be gay. I wish I could come out. I could be a gay action star.
And then Necky, you're just laughing. And he's like,
and my first lover, he left me for someone else. I can't.
I don't want to laugh at it. But the voice is amazing.
Necky, this is sad. Poor, possibly Elijah Wood is telling us his life story. And you're just giggling.
I thought Frodo should be gay. But they said, no, that won't sell. I'm actually an F5.
Stop it.
I like a D6. But sure, don't tell anybody who my name is.
So anyways, whoever you are, come on out to it and we'll do a full interview. The whole episode will be you.
And we'll try to understand your pain through goofy voices. Oh, that was good. Yes, I did it again. Another Quizlet Corner.
I almost got you. You're good. It's like you stay up all night studying, or I don't know. See, that's why you gotta go on Jeopardy, because you're ready for this shit.
But you know what? It's just because I'm a librarian, and we just have our finger to the pulse.
The pulse. You also won't have this much time to sort things out on Jeopardy.
No, I won't.
I'm very lenient.
It's not. It's not like how to be a millionaire or whatever. Where I get to talk it out.
Yeah, but just on there for 4 episodes, still trying to answer one question.
Maybe
Meredith. I'm not sure.
It could be that.
Can I pull my friends?
But last year I was reading this thing. And
yeah, you don't have time. It's a much faster paced show on Jeopardy. Yeah. So.
Oh, that was good. That was fun.
Good job, girl.
Thank you. Yay.
I like that your intro was just yay. You're not trapped in a car this time. Last week, Aneke almost... She almost bad mom killed herself.
I was delirious.
In a car.
Love it.
I also love that I could hear, like, your neighbors playing music.
Yeah, there was, like, bumping-ass music in all the cars that were passing me as I'm sitting in my car dying trying to record a podcast. I do this for the people. Yourself.
Well, I'm glad you're alive. You too. See what lengths she goes to? So, this week, a new corner that may come back. We always like to throw new corners in, and then you never see them again. This is... You never know. From the Corner Kids, some of you send us different articles, and we weren't able to talk about it fully on the show, but want to give you some props.
Yes.
And just talk about it. This is from David Shapiro.
Mm.
He sent me an article about hashtag LGBT superheroes. So I recommend everybody take a moment and go to www.shapehistory.com/LGBT superheroes. And someone pretty much sent it's pretty much about the lack of LGBT representation in comic book superhero movies when there's hella LGBT characters in the comic books.
That's
like
tight.
Iceman, Mystique, yeah. Catwoman, Northstar, Colossus, Morph, Deadpool, Spider-Woman. They're all LGBT, you know, characters.
Right.
But when they come out on the screen, they're like hella not. Like
Poison Ivy.
Like Jennifer Lawrence. Mm. And I can't say Mystique because we all know that. It's not Mystique, it's just Jennifer Lawrence running around in that new X-Men movie.
I know, she was barely... I just saw that movie. She's supposed to be like...
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh. It's not a spoiler, because you already know this.
It's just like, Jennifer Lawrence running around.
Yeah, because, and the crazy thing is Mystique is, like, supposed to be so pro-mutant rights and, like, being, like, open.
I just love it. She's just, like, She's like, I want to look like Jennifer Lawrence running around. And
basically, I know. God.
Like, she hates herself, apparently, because she's not looking like her true form. But anyways, like, you know, we've seen Iceman up in the movies. He's not gay. Colossus was just in Deadpool, mm-hmm. not gay. Deadpool up in Deadpool, not gay. Well, he had some lines that were kind of like,
tee-hee. He had a couple of lines that alluded to it, but not full on.
More. Because these characters are all up on that, you know, red scale, and they're all in the, like the E, F, you know, 4, 5, yeah. 6, 3 spectrum. So anyways, they made a trailer, which is really interesting. Mm. It kind of shows like a possible movie of an LGBT superhero. It looks pretty cool. And there's a book called Hero, which I recommend everybody read. It's really cool. It's a book called Hero. I forget the name of the writer, but I read it. It was almost going to get turned into a Showtime series, and it's sort of takes sort of like DC characters, and you can kind of tell who they're talking about. And it's a character who discovers his dad's kind of like Batman, but a retired superhero.
And I love this.
He discovers his superpowers, but he's got superpowers, but he's also realizes he's gay. And it's sort of like this like younger Avengers or younger Justice League that he's in. It's very gritty, very teen. It should be totally, not only is he a superhero, but he's also gay.
And it's called
Hero. And a lot of the other superheroes. It's called Hero, and it was almost going to be a Showtime series, but they couldn't get it into development. It's so good.
Damn.
Everybody read it and demand this movie get made, because it would be an amazing new, like, Harry Potter-ish series of movies that could get... It would be so good. And he just happens to be gay.
This sounds amazing.
It's really cool. Read the book. That should be your summer read. It's a teen book. It's a super easy, quick read. I recommend it.
Oh, this is like the Minority Corner Book Club right now. We're starting it again.
Yeah. I recommend... Oh, and the sad thing is, the writer of this book, he died.
No!
So it seems like it's a series that could have went on and kept going, and that might be some part of the reasons why the rights are up. Hero, a novel by Perry Moore. And the publisher is Disney.
Damn, good for Disney.
Yeah, it's really good. So I recommend.
That's good. Anything well, thanks, else? James. That was nice. And thank you. Who was the original Corner Kid?
Oh, David Shapiro. Thank you.
Corner David
Kids, if you want. From now on, you're only getting shout-outs if you earn them. So you've got to have something to say.
Oh, my God.
For a shout-out corner. Like, give us some news. What do you want us to say? Or give us a what's up. No one's been communicating to us.
Or if you have a side-eye, give us a side-eye. I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. Who should we be side-eyeing? Who should we put in the corner? Who should we side-eye? Let us know. Yes. We want to know.
Yes. Or if you're side-eyeing us, I was saying. If we, like, you know...
Oh, yeah, you can side-eye us.
Yeah.
We have a Twitters. We have a Facebooks.
Minority Corner with a K on Twitter. Minority Corner with a K on Facebook. Email us at minoritycornerwithak@gmail.com. And when we say with a K, that means spell corner with a K. Don't write Minority Corner with a K.
A lot of people think, like, oh, your podcast is called Minority Corner with a K. Like, no. Just trying to tell you that the spelled with a K.
Yes.
Because the C was already taken.
The C was taken. We were slow on that one.
We were slow.
Share us. Tell your friends.
Share us.
Tell your mama. Tell your daddy. Tell your grandma.
Tell your mama. Tell your friend. Tell your grandma. Tell the neighbor. Tell the lady who's passed out in the street.
She might enjoy us while she's sobering up.
I think we're best listened to while trying to sober up.
Yes.
That's a note for all of you. So, happy anniversary, Aneke. One
Yay,
year we made
we
it.
We did it.
They said it wouldn't last.
We had to prove them wrong.
But I dreamed in the past that podcast will never do without you. I think it's fitting on our 1 year anniversary. We ended this the way that we started with, you know, some Janet Jackson.
I love it because that's us. We need our own interludes. The islands.
The islands. Tee-hee. Aguila. Stank. Booty. Stank. If you don't know what we're talking about, your homework a year ago is listen to the Janet Jackson interludes. Go do it right now.
Do it. Goodbye.
Bye, y'all.